Hello and welcome to the Susquehanna County Conservation District's Conservation Corner. I'm Don Hibbard.
And I'm Devin Voda.
And each week we bring you conservation topics and events from around the Endless Mountains. So this topic that we're talking about today has some sentimental value to it,
yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So maybe you want to talk about what happened over the weekend?
Yeah, so my grandma, she passed back in December, and her favorite animal was hummingbirds. And I'd never seen one at our house. We've been there. This will be our third summer there. And I was having a bit of a rough day over the weekend. And all of a sudden, a hummingbird came and flew up and looked in our window. So
it provided us a good topic.
Yeah.
And I definitely learned a lot more about hummingbirds.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And you ended up getting a feeder, right?
Yes. Should be coming today or tomorrow. So
awesome. So we're going to talk a bit about, you know, the ones that show up here in Pennsylvania.
Mm-hmm.
And talk about the life of the hummingbird, the range, and just get to know hummingbirds in general a bit more.
Yep.
Of course, we got fun facts, and that'll be at the end. So let's get started. And I don't know if you want to take the lead first.
Sure. Talk a little bit about the range here on where you can kind of find hummingbirds. So during the spring and summer, so what we have around here is the ruby-throated hummingbird. So they can be found from southern Canada across the central and eastern United States. They will typically winter mainly in the tropics from coastal southern Mexico, south to northern Panama, and even nice all over into Cuba. They're pretty common over there as well. And possibly even the most southern tip of Florida. So they might stay U.S. a little bit. The ruby-throated hummingbird is the only hummingbird species that nests on the eastern side of the Mississippi River. So
okay.
That's probably all you're going to see around here.
Yeah, some more information as far as that's concerned.
They do make that incredible flight, so all the way down to the Gulf of Mexico every year. Non-stop flight, so.
Yeah, so I'll take it from there. And like you said, the ruby-throated hummingbird.
Mm-hmm.
Archilochus colubris.
Braver than I am.
Yeah. It rolled out a little bit better than I thought it was going to. But it's the most common hummingbird, like you said, in Pennsylvania. The only one that breeds in the state. How big are they? Or maybe the question is, how tiny are they?
Right.
3 inches long. And they weigh, I saw comparisons to a nickel or a penny,
mm-hmm.
but they weigh less than both. So,
wow.
Super light.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they arrive in April for breeding season, depart for their wintering grounds in late September, or possibly early October, depending on how mild it stays.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, they winter in Central America, Mexico, and Florida, so that's where they hang out. It's a good idea. I like that idea. I'd go there anytime during the winter. And migrate as far as far north as Canada. And of course, you said Eastern North America for the summers. This is a fun fact. I know it's not the end of the show, but they beat their wings like 60 to 80 times per second.
That's insane.
Yeah. And another thing about the ruby-throated hummingbird is these birds can't walk.
I did see that, yeah.
They can only perch or scoot sideways.
Mm-hmm.
They're like an entertainer or something.
Yeah.
They just need a little cane. And then the other one I found, this one shows up sporadically in Pennsylvania. It's the rufous hummingbird, Celephorus rufous.
Okay.
And this hummingbird, like I said, you know, it shows up once in a while in Pennsylvania. If they're going to show up here, you better be out in western Pennsylvania if you want to see them. And that's in the fall. There have been a few documented sightings in recent years. One was in Lancaster County. That's actually in the south, but that was spotted 2 years in a row, and they're about 3 inches long. They have really vibrant red and orange plumage.
Okay.
That's how you're going to distinguish them, and they're quite a little warrior. They attack birds many times their size, and even large insects, anything else that really perceives as a threat. So.
Awesome.
And I just want to cover some other ones that, you know, if you're super lucky, you might be able to see in Pennsylvania, but they don't show up here very often. That's the buff-bellied hummingbird, broad-tailed hummingbird, calope hummingbird, hope I said that right, black-chinned hummingbird, Anna's hummingbird, Allen's hummingbird, and the Bahama wood star.
Okay.
So all ones that I think have been seen in Pennsylvania, but pretty rare.
Right. So more than likely, if you're seeing a hummingbird out in your backyard, it's a ruby-throated.
Exactly, yeah.
So I have a little bit on like their life cycle, kind of what goes on there. So knowing they're such a tiny bird themselves, they build a nest about walnut-sized, I found. So super, super tiny. And they build it out of lichens and spider webs. So a little different than your typical bird's nest.
Yeah. Yeah, that is... Wow. I didn't know that one. Yeah. I didn't even see that in my research, so...
They lay about 2 to 3 tiny eggs. And each egg is about the size of, like, a Tic Tac. I've even seen reports as small as a grain of rice for a hummingbird egg. That's crazy.
Have you ever seen...
I have not.
No. I think it's probably pretty hard.
Yeah. So the ruby throat incubates for about 11 to 16 days until the eggs hatch, and the female provides all the care. So the male's just around long enough to make the baby, and then they leave. They do quickly outgrow their little nest, and they fledge the nest about 2 to 3 weeks after they're hatched. So that's pretty quick.
It is, yeah.
But they do exceed a great deal of energy during flight. As you said, they flap their wings so fast. So they do need to feed mostly on, they'll do a lot of sugar, but they also do feed on some insects to get some protein, but they have to consume up to half their weight in sugar each day.
I saw that. That was one of my fun facts,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Oh, yeah, they're big eaters.
Mm-hmm. So saying that, like, that they need to consume so much sugar, kind of our part in what we can do to help the hummingbirds out. We talked about how I have a feeder coming, so you can put a feeder out. They are attracted to a lot of like reds and orange colors. And if you're planning to put a feeder out, the ideal mix I found is a 1 part sugar to 4 parts water. And you boil a 1-to-1 ratio to start, and then you add in 3 extra parts of cold water. And that's what you put out for your hummingbirds.
Okay, so it all has to boil, or?
So just the one, like if you're going to do, say, 1/4 cup of sugar and 1/4 cup of water, uh-huh. Boil that, and then you put in 3/4 cup cold water, and that's what you put out.
Okay. Yeah, that's one thing I'm not familiar with. I don't have any feeders or anything, right. But I do have some flowers around that I've seen, which I can cover.
Yep.
That.
And then they also say, don't add the red dye necessarily. If your feeder has some red on it, that's great. The red dye doesn't do much to them, and it could potentially be harmful. We are not entirely sure. So, you know, you see a lot of red-dyed pre-made nectar. But if you're going to make it at home, no reason to add that red dye.
Yeah, pass on the dye.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, I just noted that they do love native flowers.
Mm-hmm.
Which that's as natural as you get right there. And I just pulled up a couple that might be good for your backyard if you want to draw these hummingbirds in. So they mention American fly honeysuckle. It's hard to find a native honeysuckle around here. I know we have the bush honeysuckles, but there are native honeysuckles. They also mention bee balm. Jewelweed is another common one, and eastern columbine. So they like all those flowers. So if you're interested in getting hummingbirds in your backyard naturally, there's some good flowers to plant.
I read more like the tubular-shaped flowers is what they like.
Yes.
Another side note quickly on if you're going to be putting out feeders, make sure you're just changing that water every 2 to 3 days just because the sugary water will ferment into a potentially toxic alcohol if left outside for too long. So,
yeah, don't want any boozy hummingbirds.
No, we don't. Guess that takes us to fun facts.
Hey, it's time for fun facts. Yeah, so I found the oldest wild ruby-throated hummingbird actually lived 9 years. And then the oldest known male lived only 5 years.
Wow.
Do you know why there's a difference between males and females and their longevity? So, the males don't live as long because the females nag on them all. No, just joking. it's because the males they spend so much energy defending a territory.
Okay.
So they expend all that extra energy. Plus, of course, their migration route, and so their lives are a little shorter. Okay. But
so I found on cold nights, because, the springtime when they're coming back, the nights might get a little chilly still.
Yeah.
On these cold nights, the hummingbirds are able to, sit on a branch and they conserve energy by lowering their body temperature and their heart rate and slowing their metabolism way down. So it's almost like a selective controlled hypothermia kind of thing. And then as it starts to warm up in the morning, they can kind of speed everything back up and be ready to go.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty great.
Yeah.
If you're wondering who preys on hummingbirds, well, probably most animals, but some of the ones that really like the taste of hummingbird are hawks, praying mantis.
Oh.
Yeah, so if you're ever on YouTube, there's some pretty crazy videos of praying mantis attacking hummingbirds.
That's crazy.
Yeah, and bullfrogs are another one. Even large orb-weaving spiders. So your common garden spider, those yellow and black ones, if they get big enough, look out.
Okay.
Yeah, so those are the ones that I found that especially like hummingbirds.
My last fun fact here is, like many birds, hummingbirds have really good color vision, and they can actually see the ultraviolet spectrum. So we can't see that, but they can see a lot more colors than we can.
That's interesting. A lot of animals can't see many colors.
Right.
And they can see
so many.
Yeah. All right. I do have an event. Salt Springs State Park is actually opening up a new trail,
okay.
I found out. So they're doing that this coming Saturday. It's the 11th, May 11th, from 2 to 4. The cost is free, so that works out for you. And they mentioned that you can check out their newest trail. Apparently, there's rock outcroppings, and they're going to be talking about geology around the area. After the hike, you actually can provide some input because they're looking for names of the trail. So if you hike the trail and you're like, man, I got a really good name for this trail, you can provide it right there and then, and it might be selected as the trail's name. So that's pretty cool. And then they mentioned meeting at the Friends parking lot off Buckley Road. So that's May 11th from 2 to 4 p.m. And like I said, the cost is free.
All right. I will also mention not this upcoming Saturday the 11th, the following Saturday the 18th, right here at the district, we'll be having a Hives and Hike event. So come out and we'll do a guided walk through our quarter mile long trail, and then the Susquehanna County Beekeepers Association will be doing a presentation all about bees.
Yeah, that's awesome. And that one's free as well.
Yes.
So if you're interested in learning more about bees, it's a good time and you get a little exercise.
Yeah, the 18th at 10 o'clock. We'll see you.
Awesome.
All right, I guess that does it for today's show then. If you have questions related to our shows, you can contact the Conservation District by calling 570-782-2105. If you missed a portion of today's show, you can go to our website, www.suscondistrict.org, and find our Conservation Corner page with past episodes and links to information about past episodes. You've been listening to the Susquehanna County Conservation District's Conservation Corner. I'm Devin Voda.
And I'm Don Hibbert saying, enjoy the outdoors.